You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come feel what you need when what you really want inside. you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. Our government cares about
they
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah, ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day, a great day. And hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it's not, and you have to get it done, regardless, you will get it done. Oh, I just saw this thing that said that irregardless is good. This, I guess they just gave up because people just kept saying irregardless. Okay. It's just like all the other words that become part of the lexicon. You keep saying shit, it'll be a word. So irregardless, hope you have a good day. Family. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. From 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. And I hope if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that. And then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Excuse me. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. On Monday evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs programming with Brother Wahad Ahmed, Acres of Diamonds, followed by Black Therapy Central with Dr. Cambon and her daughter, Nataki Cambon. Then that's followed by at 9, from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations every first and third Mondays on Time for an Awakening. That's the Encobra program with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. Thursdays from 7 to 9. After 7 with host Shani B. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening. That's right, Time for an Awakening from 8 to 10 or thereabouts. Time for an Awakening at 8 p.m. on Eastern Time with Brother Elliot. And that is at 8 p.m. on Friday. And then on Saturday from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, Sankofa, the Elders Council, with host Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sunday from 7 p.m. until, once again, it's Time for an Awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Go to WeBuyBlack.com because you can get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tahembe has been taking our people to the motherland for a good number of years, over 450 of our people, for a trip of a lifetime, for the opportunity
to examine for themselves and possibly invest and repatriate. All you had to do was $400 down and then pay on the trip. These are the trips that are upcoming. I'm not sure because of coronavirus if this trip is next month. And I'm not sure. Tanzania, I'll know more for sure when I come back from being gone. Tanzania, November 20th through the 30th. Then a trip to Ghana, December 24th to January 5th, 2021. Then he's going to Senegal, April 2nd to April 12th, 2021, to Senegal and Gambia. Then once again to Ghana, May 24th to June 4th. And then to South Africa, November 19th to the 29th, 2021. All trips are $3,700. Everything you need is on the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to give Brother Bomani a call, do it at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. If you want to see photos of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Brother Renoka Rashidi, he has a trip upcoming in January 21st to February 4th, going to Uganda and Rwanda. Man, it's beautiful. You should just go online to Dr. Renoko. Go to drrenoko.com and check it out for yourself. Beautiful pictures he has posted of Uganda and Rwanda and where people will be staying and what they'll see and so forth. And man, just beautiful. Also, too, you can give the Brother Renoko a call at 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663. Habesha Incorporated.org. Habesha Incorporated. Habesha stands for helping Africans by establishing schools at home and abroad. Habesha. They're doing the work, brothers and sisters. That's why I promote them. They're doing the work. Also, too, I'm going to be promoting the Ledge Group because they're doing the work as well. You always, to me, if there are people out there doing it, they need to be supported. And it's, you know, that support is necessary and desperately needed. And that's what we need to do to invest in ourselves, particularly groups that are helping in various areas. So HabeshaIncorporated.org. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta, located on Ralph David Abernathy. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, right across the street from Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna and the West End Mall, right in the West End. The location is 878 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, and the phone number is 404-444-1635. The Meddu Bookstore, although it's going to be closed today because of a death in the Meddu Bookstore family. So I'm sending condolences out to Mama Nia and her staff. And seriously, condolences. Mama Nia, a beautiful person. But they're going to be closed today. But they will be open after that. And so just give them a call at 404-346-3263. If you are in the Atlanta area, you're near the Greenbrier Mall, stop in and check out the Meddu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. My good brother Gazimde Ajamu, his bookstore, Cultural Center, his Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, located in Lithonia, that's on East on Highway, Interstate I-20 here in Atlanta. It's located really in Lithonia. Lithonia. That sounds like a girl's name. Girl, what's up with Lithonia? Anyway, 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. There is light in the black dot. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us. Ulu. Their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. That's Us Lifting Us every Thursday night from 9 p.m., from 9 to 10. Or you can call to listen or to call to give questions, comments, or concerns at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Ulu. Sanjay Dash, Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia is doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. They deserve to be supported. Go online to Sonjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I dot org. That's how Haiti is supposed to be pronounced. That's what the Haitians have told me. You know, what do I know? So I'm listening to those who know and follow. You know what I'm saying? That's what we all should do. Sonjay-Haiti.org. Ackerman Institute, brothers and sisters, Ackerman Institute deserves to be supported. They have done outstanding work. Brother Baruti, Baba Baruti, and his lovely wife, Yah Baruti. So they deserve to be supported. Please make your check or money order out to Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. If you want to use Cash App, $ Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And you can send your donations in through Cash App, you know, $5, $10, $25, whatever, constant, you know. That's what needs to happen, I tell you. And you know it, too, and you do. Some time-sensitive programs that are happening, I won't be here to broadcast these, so hopefully you'll go online to participate. The Resisting Feminism Workshop, Mama Yah is doing on Saturday, November 7th, from 4 to 6 p.m., from 4 to 6 p.m., Saturday, November 7th. And make your $10 or $5 for teens or younger folks via PayPal at Yah Baruti at Yahoo, YahBaruti at Yahoo.com. Include the information, Resisting Feminism, your name, and your email address so they can send you this, the streaming link. Also, too, the same day, November 7th, earlier, Prayers of Gratitude, Baba Baruti's workshop, Saturday, November 7th, from 12 noon to 2. From 12 noon to 2. Same donations, $10. Warriors in Training, $5, Young Warriors. And, of course, send the donations to $10 or $5 to Prayers of Gratitude, your name, your email address, and it should include, so you can get the link, okay? That's Prayers of Gratitude, same day as the Resisting Feminism on Saturday, November 7th. Is this happening already? It's happening Friday. No, we missed it. That was last week. Kibuke, Kabuka, the fifth annual Kibuke workshop is also going to be virtual. That's going to be November 21st from 5 to 9. November 21st from 5 to 9. Register. You can register as a family for $20, a couple, $15, adults, $10, children, $5. And put the pertinent information in Kabuka, your name, and, of course, your email address so they can send you the streaming link. I tell you, it's more impactful, and it still will be impactful because of the information, but deeply impactful when you see it and experience it with Baba Baruti and the young kids and the whole atmosphere. It's really deep. Gives you a deep perspective. And there's Kabuka that's looking the Ma'afa. Ma'afa through the eyes of our ancestors. The 17th annual Abakasan Sumsum, Mama Rimba Ani, Abakasan Sumsum, African Spiritual Warfare, Race First African Ancestral War Plan. That is going to be Sunday, November 15th, 2020. It is in person from 12:30 to 6:30 at Sweetwater State Park in Lithia Springs, Georgia. Sweetwater State Park of Lithia Springs. Wear white, bring offerings. Beautiful, beautiful commemoration. And very deep, very, very moving. So that's Abakasan Sumsum, the 17th annual, Sunday, November 15th. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thoughts. The Inye Sesem.
October 27th. If we truly knew and felt the slave experience, the captive experience, we would divorce ourselves from everything that delivered those experiences to us, whether they were social, economic, or religious. I definitely like this. Nanakunta Del Jones. We have come to accept the self-defeating falsehood that wealth and income are synonymous, because conspicuous consumption has become the primary source of our self-esteem. We seem determined to remain ignorant of the fact that wealth, not income, gives real power. There is even greater confusion over our relative economic position, especially as it translates into an actual individual and group empowerment. As a result, we cannot negotiate our needs from a relatively powerless position. Unfortunately, the problem is not one of income, because we have nearly $900 billion in spending power. This is up from $300 billion in 1990. Instead of our condition develops out of the misconception of our income itself is sufficient to ensure our interests. For a while, we constitute conservatively approximately 15% of the population of America. We have less than a half of a percent of the nation's wealth. And this is down from 1 to 3% just two decades ago. Even more interesting, this is an incredible drop from before the end of our captivity, when free Africans made up 1.6% of the country's population, but also controlled approximately 0.5% to 1% of the country's wealth. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed, brothers and sisters. A near ideal situation, given that the only racist nature of the society at the time and the fact that the rest of us were being forced to subsidize the wealth of Europeans for free. Excuse me. Affirm, I distinguish income from wealth. Affirm, I distinguish income from wealth. We don't have wealth. And it is because we unfortunately don't support one another to accumulate wealth through business acquisitions and so forth. And then to support those businesses, because you understand that we may be the only ones supporting them. We never fail to understand the dynamics of racism and the impact that it has on our everyday lives. So the amount of income we have, and believe me, a lot of the income comes from government programs, not private sector. Let me finish with me and you say, Sim. This is an open mic Wednesday anyway. So if you want to talk about something, man, give us a call at 215-490-9832. We can chop it up. 215-490-9832. October 28th. For no man or woman that is free to chase stars is satisfied with chasing a ball. Lester Velt Middleton. It can be difficult for some of us, so mesmerized by the trinkets and theories of materialistic Western science, to imagine the breadth and depth of African genius. But there are facts which may give those of us who are still curious worthy clues. For one, our ancestors knew the physical universe, even though how much they knew may never be known to us because of the ignorant, childish, barbaric, jealous destruction of those aliens. Before Europeans, Africans had mapped the sun's orbit. Let me repeat. Before Europeans, Africans had mapped the sun's orbit. We know that they knew that the sun had its own year, an orbit in its galaxy lasting 25,999 920 years. Even still, those of us in awe of this phenomenal genius have to ask even more revealing questions about how long they had this knowledge and how long it would take for them to acquire the scientific worldview and technology that would allow them to even begin to form a question about the sun's having its own orbit. How long did it take for them to clearly recognize an orbital pattern that could be studied and charted and understood? And then how many 25,000 year cycles would they have to had to witness this in a scientifically advanced state in order to understand and confidently state this cycle accurately as a scientific fact? Our genius is immeasurable. So how could we be satisfied with just chasing a ball? Affirm, being descendants of genius, I am genius. Affirm, being descendants of genius, I am genius. The Enye Sesim, a daily revolutionary thought. Since today's my last program, I'm leaving for Chicago and Milwaukee. So we'll come back and, of course, catch up on those Enye Sesims that... because they're very thought-provoking, and you must admit, I know I do. So we're going to have an open mic, so let's get ready to rumble. Let me do this first, okay? What you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself. And what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself. And what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. Who has been doing the telling? Our problem, of course, is that we rely on this system to tell us. And yet we still think they will tell us correctly, honestly, respectfully. And we have leadership, so-called leadership, that tries to make sure that that's the way that we receive, that is the way that we receive this information. So it's misleadership. That's why many of us still think of ourselves in such a derogatory, demeaning manner. Your philosophy determines your thought patterns. Your thought patterns determine your behavior patterns. And your behavior pattern determines your attitude. Let me repeat that one. I think I messed that one up. I'm trying to do it by memory. Your philosophy. I know philosophy in actions. I do. I know what begins and know how it ends. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your attitude. Your attitude determines your behavior pattern. And your behavior pattern determines your actions. It begins with what you think. And because of what you think, this is how you behave. This is how you act. So if you believe that sisters ain't nothing but, you know, the scourge and shouldn't be supported and shouldn't be recognized, and then, of course, you will not support them. You will not recognize them. You will not cherish them. You will not protect them. But if your philosophy that sisters are to be protected, supported, nurtured, and loved, then you will treat them in that manner. It begins with what you think and it ends with what you do. The question becomes, just as I read earlier, what you've been told. Why do you think that way? Why do you believe that? Why do some of us believe, and sisters particularly, that we ain't nothing? Black. There is no other group in this country where the women of that group say that they men ain't shit. I ain't heard no Japanese, no Chinese, no Puerto Ricans, no Mexicans, no Caucasians. But you hear it all the time. And see, once again, that, you know, that blame is put on us. But we must understand that Everything that happens in society is directed and controlled by Caucasians, and these things happen for a reason. If I want to continue to control you, I want you at each other. I want to be divisive. I want you divided. I'm going to be divisive. I want you at each other. I don't want you coming together. I want you believing that you two should be. No, I'm sticking white women on the black men. I'm putting giving sisters jobs when I ain't giving the brothers jobs. I want you divide. I want you at each other. Begins with what you think and ends what you do. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's trowel and square, Africa's books of great wisdom. So go now and build for eternity. That's two quotes today by Brother Lester Velt Middleton. Once again, you can check out Brother Lester Velt Middleton. Go to YouTube, and you can listen to some of the great African warrior scholars, Dr. John Henry Clark, Dr. Ben, so many others, African warrior scholars. A little thing here. Let me go here, because I mentioned this before I do that. Let me do this. I did a thing on, the movie, right? Cleopatra, right? And in that movie, they're making the woman who they want to play is Egyptian. She's Egyptian. And so I'm trying to find that. And now there's backlash because, no, excuse me, the woman who they want to play is not Egyptian, she's Israeli. That's the backlash. She's Israeli. And so they're, you know, they say, why does somebody, you know, She plays Wonder Woman, and there's a new Wonder Woman movie coming up. And so the thing is, why, you know, if they have this woman who is Israeli playing, you know, an Egyptian. And of course you can understand that. You know, you can understand that because it happens so often. You know, the European has always, even in the beginning movie that was the blockbuster that Woodrow Wilson had viewed in the White House, said it is history written in lightning, Birth of a Nation. You know. You had Caucasians in blackface playing these ugly, mean degenerates who lust after white women. Casting of the new Cleopatra film with Israeli actress draws massive backlash in Egypt. Now understand that the Egyptians, and I make a distinction, Egyptians, now the word Egypt is Greek. Before it was Egypt, it was Kemet. So when the Greeks took over the Ptolemies, and it is the Ptolemies, Alexander, the so-called great generals that began to control Egypt. And for the centuries, Egypt being controlled by them and dormant, even though they had those great artworks and artifacts and the Medinet and all the temples and tombs and so forth and so on. Islam coming into existence and sweeping across the so-called Middle East and North Africa. And of course, Egypt being a part of that, and they had no respect
because Islam was a cultural ideation as well as the theology, as well as the theology, and they imposed that on Egypt because the Kemetic culture was so strong, it did not change until Islam. It remained constant and strong when the Greeks were there. They wanted to be Egyptian or Kemetic. They wanted to dress that way. They wanted to, they didn't, even Alexander the so-called great is buried in Kemet. And so the Romans, the same thing. The culture never changed until Islam. And of course, the battle between Islam and Israelis or European Jews, or, you know, I don't want to too much say Hebrews because of the false idea that Hebrews were enslaved in Kemet. That is not true. There was no Hebrew enslavement in Kemet by the Kemetic people. Temples and tombs were built by the people themselves. They didn't have people suffering the sting of the lash. When Gail Cadot announced that she would be reuniting with the Wonder Woman director, Patty Jenkins, in a historical film covering the history and the story of Cleopatra, the legendary queen of Kemet, or Egypt, Egyptians weren't excited, as one would expect. Instead, there's been massive backlash against the casting of her as the Egyptian monarch. Now, you know, and the Egyptian people there today can lay claim only to the invasion of the Muslims and the spread of Islam, because they ain't the same people. They are, number one, none of them are. The only real people are the root of them, and that is the African people who built that civilization that lasted for thousands of years. Thousands of years. The first invasion of Kemet was the Hyksos. And it lasted a few hundred years before they wound up kicking them out. And the only thing they brought to the culture was the horse and chariot. This is based upon my reading of our scholars and our historians who I rely on. I rely on our scholars and our historians. So instead, there's been massive backlash of the casting of her. Jenkins directed Godot's Wonder Woman film based on the American comic book hero named its like sequel, Wonder Woman 1984. So there's a new one coming out, which will be screened. See, this damn thing moves, you know. Does that happen to you, too? I bet it does, huh? And which will be screened in the coming months. The new film has been scripted. And okay. Cleopatra is a story I've always wanted to tell for a long time, Godot said in an interesting post, in an Instagram post. Can't be more excited and grateful. Godot said that the story would be narrated from a woman's point of view. Okay. And we are especially thrilled to be announcing that this on the International Day of the Girl. We hope women and girls all around the world who aspire to tell stories will never give up their dreams and will make their voices heard by and other women. While you think there would be a celebration around the group of women teaming up to tell the story of a legendary female ruler, online users reacted in rage. Hollywood has always casted Caucasian actresses as queens of the Nile. Yeah, there was a silent film. Then there was Claudette Colbert. Then there was Elizabeth Taylor. And now, and I'm quite sure there's a few other queens of the Niles that I might be missing, but obviously the Elizabeth Taylor, because so much money was poured into that. In fact, the Strand Theater in downtown Milwaukee showed it for over a year. A year. That movie stayed at the Grand for over a year. Many Egyptians aren't as enthusiastic as Godot regarding the upcoming film, according to Mahmoud Hassim, a film critic. While quite a lot of money is being spent on Egyptian TV and cinematic productions, only a few of them give viewers insight into the country's rich history. For Egyptian filmmakers and producers, our history begins with the Islamic conquest. And it does. That's what y'all history begins with, the Islamic conquest. They have ignored the Pharaonic and the Coptic eras. Now, the Coptic, of course, is the Coptic Christian. This is after Kemet. This is that law between once Kemet was down, and then then Islam took over. Yeah. As if those eras never existed. So, the director of Alexandria Library and Egypt politician term Gaddafi's casting brainwashing. Her being casted as Cleopatra once again is brainwashing and deceit. I concur. Brainwashing and deceit. You know. But you know, they do what they're going to do, and I say all the time, you know, just because they say it, you know, you don't have to go along with it. They're going to do what they're going to do. That's why I don't bother by that, you know. Don't support it. Every one of the movies that came out back in the day, you know, Star, what was that? Stargate. Yeah, with Russell, about the having to go back in time, you know, and going through the Stargate to correct some stuff or whatever, you know. That was bogus. But they all are. They all are. Because our problem is we want them to tell the story right. They tell the story. Damn them. You tell your story. You find the money to tell the story right. I romanticize a lot of times about telling the story right. I really do. Wish I had the money to say, hey, this, we need to develop this script. And this is, I mean, that's one thing I got to give Michael Jackson some credit for in the Remember the Time video. There's only one black person there's only one white person in that video, Michael Jackson. But if you can go to Remember the Time video, everybody is African. You know, Eddie Murphy's in it, and of course, Iman, Magic Johnson, quite a few others. Because that's what it was. Our great scholars and historians have proven, it has been proven. As I said, when I talked about it last week, Dr. Shekhanta Jop proved it at the symposium. He and Dr. Thelophilia Obinga proved it. It has been proven. But yet today, you can still watch National Geographic, the Learning Channel, PBS, whatever. And so therefore, I can give less than a rat's ass about the film industry, the documentary. It is us. We know it, so we should say it. It's been decades. This is not new information. Hell, J.A. Rogers knew it back at the turn of the last century in his writings. In the early 30s and 40s, J.A. Rogers. And many other historians. Drusilla Dungy Houston in 1926, the same time that Carter G. Woodson started Negro History Week in 1926. Drusilla Dungy Houston wrote a book, The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire. And she said this, and this is a quote, "I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal of facts that Harvard or Yale or even cowardly scholarship in our culture, in our so-called race, can dare not refute. How can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? Our leadership believed that what was best for us is because Africa was primitive. Africa was gone. Our leadership believed that it is best for us to try to melt into this pot. Get into this melting pot. This mush. This gruel. And our leadership is still trying to put us in that pot. How can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? Our leadership is all these organizations still to this day. Brothers and sisters, if we do not, I repeat, if we do not, as Kwame Nkrumah said, if we do not, we will be hangling and wrangling. We have a caller. 414, 414. Good morning. 414, 507. Good morning. 414, 507. Okay, I'll leave you hanging on. 602-602-403. 602, good morning.
Yes, Brother Oshie, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me? I sure can, Brother Marcus. Loud and clear. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you, brother.
All right.
You know, these people, you know, these European people are pathological liars. You know, they have to lie. And, you know, my parents always told me every liar is a thief. So lying and stealing go together with
That's
these
right.
people. These people, they cannot change.
Right.
They are not, you know, they have to lie. They have to steal, you see? Because that's their psychology, you see? That's a part of their DNA. You see, they are, you know, Dr. Amos Wilson said these people are genetically disposed to violence.
Yes.
But, you know, the message, you know, we have to take the message to our people. It's not so much trying to convince white people of the atrocities, because then we're wasting energy with
right.
them, trying to let them, you know, show them who we are. Is a exercise in futility. You know, that energy, we have to take that energy and direct it towards our people, because that's where the power lies. We have to correct the damage that's been done to our mindset. Now, I see a disturbing trend happening on the continent right now, because, as you know, a lot of our people are repatriating
right.
back to the motherland. But now you see, again, you see the ignorance, you see the foolishness developing, you see they are trying to drive a wedge between our people here and on the continent. You see that it's happening currently in the Gambia now, where, you know, this foolishness of saying, oh, you know, we are not the same, we are different, it's a lot. And also in Nigeria, you're seeing this happening too. Even with the SARS thing going on, there's a lot of tribal issues now developing. Yoruba.
Right. Now, Marcus, you were saying, now what's happening in the Gambia?
Well, in the Gambia, what's happening is a lot of our people are repatriating to the Gambia. And but there is one particular family there that's doing a lot of work, good work. They call them the Bag family. They're all over YouTube and stuff like that. But, you know, they're talking the same what we're talking, Garveyism, back to Africa. And they are being attacked.
They're being attacked by the Gambians?
They are being attacked by some Gambians, not all.
Right, I understand, sure.
But even was physically attacked. You know,
are these Gambians influenced by Europeans or just ignorance influenced by Europeans?
Gambians that are heavily influenced by European thought. You know what I'm saying? To the point where even one of the brothers, the father, he got attacked physically. by an elder over there. And, you know, it's sick.
It's sad.
It's a real sickness, brother. You know, and, you know, but we, you know, we going to have to combat it because, look, ain't nobody going to prevent us from going home.
That's right.
So, we have to let our people know, say, look, you're not going to stop us from coming because this is our home too now. And what happened is that when you point out some of the wrongs that they do on the continent, then they attack you. They say, oh, you're disrespecting our country because you won't allow them to exploit you. Because we have to, you know, we have people there that look like us that will scam us, that will exploit us, you know what I'm saying? You know, so they'll attack you. I say, you're disrespecting. But you know what? As I said, this is war, you know, and, you know, look, we going home. There ain't nobody going to stop us from going home.
That's right.
So, you know, they better get with the program. You know, no, I understand their mentality because, again, it's a predominantly Muslim country. And their mentality is that they don't see race. See, that's how Islam has twisted their mind to the point now. Where they don't say, oh, well, brother, you know, we don't see race. But and then I said to the brother, I said, well, brother, how come the Lebanese see race? How come the Chinese see race? How come East Indian and white folks see race and use race to their advantage economically? However, when we try to use race, the first thing they say, oh, brother, you're being a racist. Mm-hmm. I said, don't you see something wrong with that?
Yeah. It's beneficial for them, but it's not good for you.
Exactly. So when you present that to them, he shut up. See, I paralyze him right there, you know what I'm saying? But look, I tell them, I said, look, brother, if we got to shoot our way into Africa, we coming home.
That's right.
You know, and it may offend you, but, you know, that is the reality because Africa is our home too.
Yeah. And it's our only salvation. It's our only salvation.
Exactly.
It's either Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die.
Exactly.
That is
unify.
It.
Yes. You know, and that's why I said, again, it's disturbing to see what, because then we're talking about Pan-Africanism, the economic cooperation of all of Africa together. How the hell are we going to do it if we're fighting each other? How the hell are we going to do it if this tribe is fighting against that tribe? How the hell are we going to move up if you say, but again, as I said, the European has to spread confusion.
Right.
See? He has to say foolishness in the background to keep us confused and disorientated because he know that anyhow we unite, it's over.
It's over. Once we come together and we solidly come together, where nobody and no entities can interpolate or come into us and cause dissension and so forth, it is over.
Exactly.
All those agent provocateurs and saboteurs and all of them are out. We're solidified. Yes. We're strong. We're moving in the right direction. It is over. It's over for the planet. Not over in terms of they're gone, but over in terms of you exploiting us, you taking advantage of us. We will run our country. We will run our land. We will do the things that are necessary for us. And if you want something from us, you can have it. You can get it. You have to pay for it. And you have to pay fair market price for it. No longer will you exploit us and take us for granted or take advantage of us. It ain't happening no more.
Exactly. And I tell them, I say, Pan-Africanism is a must. In spite of what the hell you see going on there, you know, we're going to unite.
Right.
You know, it's no if and but, I suppose, it's just a matter of when. Maybe, brother, keep on keeping on.
Right on.
Have my ear to the ground with you. Thank you.
Right on. Thank you, Brother Marcus. Thank you so much, man. Okay. Peace.
All right.
My good friend, Brother Marcus. Brothers and sisters, it is. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. On timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more discussion. You can join that discussion by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Sometimes if you're at the food, at the car wash, working at the car wash.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Car Wash and Claudine. Soundtracks, two great soundtracks. I know there's others, and I've asked if you would like to. There's a soundtrack that you like. I love those two. They're outstanding. Just drop me a line. Drop me a text at 414-324-5796. I know I got Brother Ralph's. He likes Superfly. Somebody liked the Mac. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's other great soundtracks. Trouble Man, I got Trouble Man. You know, some great soundtracks. Are there any recent soundtracks that are, I mean, you know, that are just that good? I don't know. But other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, this program, once again, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, followed by Black Therapy Central from 8 to 9, and then Conversation Reparations, the NCOBRA program, from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Thursdays from 7 to 9, after 7 with Shani B. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, you know it is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, Sankofa, the Elders Council with host Alfonso Watkins. And then, of course, on Sunday at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Yeah. I tell you, if you want to discuss something, or you got something on your mind, if it's open mic and you're just talking about some things, give us a call at 215-490-9832. If you want to, you can just hit star twice and then that'll let me know that you want to have conversation or there's a question, comment, or concern that you have, and let's deal with it, because that's what this program is about. You know, like I said, I'm going to be here leaving town on Friday. A friend of mine who is very instrumental in my develop has a brother on the fire department, you know, and particularly in terms of the Black Firefighters Association. I got on the board and on the executive board and became the president eventually. And so that was all good. And so because of that, you know, I'm really thankful for him and having traveled the highways and byways with him for many years. And so he made his transition some time ago and having a memorial service for him. And I know that the Midwest is scary with coronavirus, and I ain't going to be taking... I mean, somebody said, well, you're taking a chance just by going. Well, I'm taking a chance by staying here, just by going outside. Let's be real. But it's what you do. So I'll be back on the 9th. And hopefully that, you know, next Tuesday is the election. Next Tuesday is the election. We have a caller. Good afternoon, caller.
Good afternoon, good morning to my grown-up man, the Bubba Ochi.
What's up, Paul? How you doing, man? Well, Brother Paul, well, from know, across the pond.
I get withdrawal symptoms if I don't check in and find out what's going on.
I swear you better. Otherwise, I had to put an APB out on your ass over, all the way in London, man. I have to call some bobbies.
Yeah, man, it's all good, bro. They've got us under house arrest. Yeah. Tier 2, they call it.
Yeah.
Tier 2.
Yeah.
House arrest. Yeah. But we're living up, you know what I mean? We're getting on. You have to get on, don't you?
Sure, you got to. You got to continue finding ways to maneuver and live through this pandemic. And it's crazy, but you know, I said early on, months ago, as I saw people dying, and then I saw people who I know die. And I said, you know, there's conspiracies and there's all kinds of other information out there. But one thing that I understood for sure, that people were catching this and some of them were dying. Now, of course, some people are catching it and they'll be able to live because of some of the medications and other things that they're doing. But still, this thing is very deadly. And because of the spike here in this country particularly and around the world, you will see more people who will die, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm not here to challenge anybody on anything. Yeah, me personally, I've always followed my own instincts and used my own mind. The great Robert Mester Marley says in one of his songs, he says, "We have a mind of our own, and you can go to hell if you think what we're thinking not right." And that's what he says in one of his songs.
Right on.
He tells the world, "We have a mind of our own, and anybody else can go to hell if you think what we're thinking of mind." So I just follow my own mind. And my mind says that we've been hoodwinked and tricked. yes, people are dying, but people die all the time. We're not going to live forever. People die. And
sure.
The reality of it is that many of us, especially within the black community, we have a tremendous amount of underlying illnesses like
diabetes,
yeah, high blood pressure, thrombosis. I can go on and on and on and on and on.
Sure.
Some of us can say our diets ain't perfect. It's far from perfect. We spend a lot of time eating nonsense,
mm-hmm.
And wonder why we end up in the state we're in. The reality of it is that from my own makeup, you know, my mother and father always told me that the purpose that I go to school is so I can develop my mind, not so I can rely on others to develop it for me. And the truth of the matter is I can read and write, and I can do it quite well. The thing is that this conclusion I've come to is this. They are resetting the world's economy. This is my own conclusion. I'm not asking for any expert's advice.
Sure.
They're resetting the world's economy because the world revolves around the petrodollar.
Mm-hmm.
The petrodollar. Every foreign transaction in the world has to go through America, and it has to go through the Federal Reserve. Every country in the world, which is actually a corporation, has to pass through the Federal Reserve. And what's happening is that those things, what they used to rely on, are running out. And what's happening is those things that they used to rely on, i.e. Oil and stuff,
mm-hmm.
other countries are stepping up to take control of it, the way they do business. And that becomes a threat to the world power. So they're trying to reset things. That's how I'm looking at it. And I'm looking at it like they've created this idea that there's this thing out there. Yeah, people are dying. Of course people are dying. People are dying because they're putting millimeter frequency everywhere. Everywhere you look. And I don't need to be in America to know they're doing it in America, because everywhere around they're putting up these poles. Brother Ochi, anybody can go and check this. You can go and check it and confirm it. Elon Musk, right, was one of the wealthiest men in the world.
Okay.
He was a creator of PayPal. PayPal, yeah, that's
right.
What he founded.
Well, also too, Tesla, motor cars, and the rocket. There's a number of things that Elon Musk, who's from South Africa, has because of
absolutely.
His wealth. Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
He 2 weeks ago, longer than 2 weeks, about a month ago, I saw something on WhatsApp. A lady sent a video around, and she was looking up in the sky. And I suppose she was wondering, what is these things in the sky? You understand? And I was looking at it. I could see it clearly through her phone. It was very clear. And I was wondering, well, what the hell is that? Three bright objects. Anyway, I had actually forgotten the week before Elon Musk, through his X project, had sent up 64 satellites. And you can go and check line and check it.
Okay.
64 satellites, right? And he plans to put
Paul. He launched 64 satellites? Into space?
Now,
okay.
What I'm trying to explain to you, Brother Ochi, in the past, yeah, most satellites was released from America, launched in the beginning. I mean,
mm-hmm.
the first, I'm going to get to it anyway. So, and that was a big event. I mean,
true.
I mean, when I was growing up, we'd all watch this thing, Rocky, go up there to relaunch one satellite, yeah?
Yeah.
He just put up 64 satellites, yeah? And not one mention of it. Not one mention.
Yeah.
What does that tell you?
Yeah.
Right? 64. And if anybody go and read the article, he plans to put up 240,000 satellites. Okay? Now, what I'm saying is, why is he doing that? Because, look, Russia, Ochi, I don't need an expert to tell me. I have a mind of my own. Go and read this. Russia was the first country to register a vaccine in the world. Do you know what they called it? Do you know the name of the vaccine?
No.
It's called Sputnik 5.
Oh, Sputnik.
Listen to what I'm telling
sure,
you.
Sure, Sputnik was
it's
a satellite
Sputnik
that was...
Sputnik 5.
Right. Okay, because Sputnik
the
was the first
satellite.
Satellite.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was the first
absolutely.
Satellite. Sputnik.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The first satellite. Why would they call a vaccine Sputnik 5? And guess what the name of the place where they created the vaccine is? The Russian for Galileo.
Galileo.
Now, if things ain't more clear than that, man, I swear, you need to go back to school because it's so clear. They intend to vaccinate people and connect you up right up in the sky. And that's why he just put up 64 satellites. And
so,
he plans to put up 245. And that's why they're diverting your attention, talking about some fantasy vaccine. So talking about some fantasy virus. Yeah, yeah. People die all the damn time, right? And people are affected by electromagnetic frequency to all sorts of degrees. That's why they were dropping down in Wuhan, because Wuhan was the first country where they tested it. By what? This is not a conspiracy theory. I've been following technology. I'm in technology. I've been following it. Right? It's nothing to do with no conspiracy. Conspiracy theory was a term coined by the CIA in 1967 to stop people looking into the Kennedy assassination. Please listen. It was coined in 1967 to stop people looking into the Kennedy assassination. Yes, it is a conspiracy, because a conspiracy means, under English law, I don't know about America, but it means under English law, a meeting of two people or more. That's what conspiracy means in English law. A meeting of two people or more. That's what it means. So yes, there is a conspiracy.
For what purpose? For what purpose? A meeting, just a meeting of two people or more. That's, you know, a meeting is a meeting. But, I mean, there has to be. Conspiracy means, to me now, Paul, a conspiracy means there's something clandestine, there's something sinister, there's something evil, there's an intent. And it could be an individual, or it could be two people or more people involved in making that happen. You know, that's how I look at a conspiracy.
Well, you know what? Law is about interpretation. Yeah?
Sure.
Most of the times when lawyers are arguing in court, they're interpreting the law. So you're right. Mm-hmm. And you can interpret it. If you're in a court, that's what you're going to do in court. You're going to interpret it. And, you know, the one who produces the best argument on the interpretation of the written law wins the argument. That's how law works.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not carved in stone. So the bottom line, what I'm saying is, I know under English law, it means the meeting of two or more minds. And what people don't recognize in this country, yeah, for instance, if you're going to rob a bank or a post office, yeah, and they can prove that you were meeting for that purpose, then you are going to serve more time than even if you actually committed the act. That's how it works in this country. In this country I'm living, if they can prove that you were conspiring to rob a bank, you're going to get a sentence heavier than even if you actually robbed the bank. Right.
Now, how is that? How can they impose a stiffer penalty if you were planning it, but you never carried it out? Somehow your plans were leaked to whatever authorities they were. They exposed you. And then, you know, even though your plan was to enact that a day or two later, but then they came, they moved on you. You never stopped. And you're saying to me that you'll get more time or your penalty would be harsher because you were planning it, even though you didn't carry it out? Really?
Listen, and the same is for terrorism. If you're caught planning a terrorist act, you are going to serve more time than even if you actually carried it out. That's how it works. Don't ask me why it works like that, but that's how it works. So when we talk about conspiracy, right, as far as I know in this country, right, a conspiracy is the meeting of two or more people for the purpose of carrying out an act. It doesn't necessarily even have to be a criminal act, because if it's not criminal, they can't charge you in a criminal court. But they might be able to charge you for something else. It might be fraud. It might be a civil act, so they can charge you for something else, yeah? If it's not a nefarious act, then obviously they're not going to charge you under any act. You're just doing what you're doing. But that's what I'm saying. So, there's definitely a conspiracy going on. But it's not a theory. It's definitely not a theory, because we can see the evidence. And as far as I'm concerned, people can say, okay, you're dying of this virus, put their mask on and all the rest of it. But I know in my head that they are deliberately and purposely killing people under the excuse of the virus. And no one convinced me any way ever.
Oh, I agree. I agree with that. I understand that. You know, Europeans have been engaged in depopulation for some time, and particularly on the continent of Africa, but other people as well. So I agree with that.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's where we're at. You know. So they're telling us now. We can't meet. We have to meet in sixes. We can't have no more than six people in our homes. In another 6 months' time, they're going to review it. 666. Well, the religious people think. People will tell you that's the mark of the beast. It's the name of a man. But it is a name of a man. Christ actually means king. They're against people who want to destroy their system of kingship. That's what that's the system they had in Europe, Brother Ochi. It's a system of kingship.
Right.
Yeah?
The monarchy. Right. And the monarchy still lives. The monarchy still lives. I mean, look at the monarchy, the queen. I mean, it's all over. Brother, in this country, Paul, it is so ingrained, and it's almost absolutely. Every day you can see something on the royals. If it wasn't Marco and Andrew, whoever, it's the other couple. If it's not them, it's the queen and her husband, who's damn near 100 years old. It's, I mean, you know, you see that shit, excuse me, you see that all the time. And of course, to me, and of course, to me, the biggest enslavers, the biggest criminals on the damn planet are the British. But because they have controlled and have control over media, control over communications, control over what people are thinking, they make it seem that the British royals are such a beautiful, it is such idyllic, you know, Alton Dabby, all this old bull. These are the worst criminals on the planet. These people have done more atrocities, have engaged in genocide, more than any other group of the people on the damn planet. You look what they've done in other countries.
I can't disagree with you yet, because the question, and I want to put this to my family across the sea, you've got to ask yourself the question, how the hell are you speaking English?
Right.
I mean, you're supposed to be American.
Yeah.
So how are you speaking English? You've got to understand what these people have done to you, how these people have impressed themselves on you, and how these people are, look, I'm sorry to say this, how these people right here in England are still controlling you,
right.
Absolutely controlling everything you do. All your states are named after English heritage, all of them, from New York, whatever you want to call it. All English heritage. How have they managed to do this? They've done this through mind control and currency and power. That's all they know. And this is what they've done. So, you know, I love hearing my brothers and sisters talk about all the things they're going to do with their politicians, all the things they're going to do on the ground, but they're still speaking English. Please, I know this sounds a bit condescending, but it's the truth. These people work through the Council of Foreign Relations, which is connected to the Tavistock Institute, and they use these things to control the world. Right? And people need to understand how this thing works and how this mind control and divide and conquer thing works, because it's real. It's absolutely real.
It is. Very much so.
You know?
That's why it is extremely difficult for people who have been subjugated, who have been oppressed under that kind of system, can really break out of it. In fact, they don't know. They begin to blame themselves. They begin to blame each other because they don't understand and they don't know how deeply they have been controlled mentally by that system.
Absolutely, Brother Ochi. And that is the biggest point scoring thing they have. They love to listen to you blaming yourself. They love to listen to you pointing fingers at each other. They love your debates on how this one is doing that and that one is doing that when they are pulling the strings all along. Most of the presidents in the United States, they're all blood relatives of this aristocracy. They're blood relatives. Do you not get it? Blood relatives. First cousins, second cousins. From Clinton to a whole lot of them. They're all cousins of these people. They're family members. Right? So, you know, they know what they're doing. They know what we're doing. It's that we have to wake up and recognize that. We have to put our differences aside. That's the only solution for us. If we don't wake up and put our differences aside, forget the fact that you're ADOS, African descendants of slaves. Forget that nonsense.
Yeah.
Realize that you're people of the world. You're people of the world. Yeah? Because if you don't, trust me, they're going to walk over you because they are united. As much as they're giving you this illusion of Republican and democracy, where did they get that from? They got that from the Romans. That's what Rome did when it came to Britain. Right? They did it to Britain. And it's not coincidence, yeah? In the Senate, that Senate right in the heart of your power structure, yeah? You've got the fascist symbol on both sides of the leader. The fascist symbol's there. That's the symbol that came out of Rome. So that tells you that they're still practicing fascism down there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole system is based upon the Greeks and then later the Romans. The whole system. And that has always been their mindset. Although they did go into a serious decline for a good number of years during those so-called medieval dark ages. But, of course, they woke up and they punished the world for their lack of land and resources and people. They punished the world. They went around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of, and then imposed.
And they're still doing it.
Yes,
they're still
they
doing
are.
It, Brother Ochi. They're still doing it. These people through the London Stock, the Corporation of London, man, it owns most of the land in the world, everywhere. The Corporation of London, they own most. Queen has to get permission.
Right.
We talk about the Queen of England. She has to get permission to go into the Square Mile. You probably don't know that in America. That she has to get permission to go into the Square Mile of the Corporation of London, who control most of the wealth on the planet. That's how it works. And people need to wake up because they're pulling the strings.
So this
one thing I want you to check out, I want to leave with you, Brother Ochi, and people to investigate. There's a company, and I know it's in America. It's called Serco.
Serco? Like a circle?
S-E-R-C-O. Now, they have massive military contracts in America, in most of the world. Security, they confirm. They're behind a lot of this planning for vaccines, test centers, and loads of things, yeah. You need to look in, people who's listening, you need to look into that company.
What is that company? What is that spelling again?
S-E-R-C-O.
Circle. Okay.
They run the industrial prison complex right here, mm-hmm. and many parts of the world. They're involving private armies and all sorts. Yeah, and you know, they're heading a lot of this stuff. What's going down? The thing is, like, people that would like to call it a conspiracy theory to make themselves look a bit clever, but you don't need I don't need an expert to tell me my mind. I know my mind. I can read and write, and I can analyze things very, very well, mm-hmm. right? And I'm not an idiot, and I'm not scared to speak the truth. And I know a lot of us don't want to hear the truth. A lot of us want to pretend and act. And one thing I realize now, Brother Ochi, is a lot of us who are playing conscious, I have to say this, a lot of us who are claiming that we're conscious are not really conscious. We're just playing the game. We want to, like Dr. Francis Chris Wilson says, mm-hmm. they just want a better seat at the master's table.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I recognize that now. I recognize that a lot of these people who claim that they're conscious doing all kind of things in so-called conscious.
So, yeah, I picked it up here. Circle Group is a British company with headquarters based in Hampshire, England. Serco manages over 500 contracts worldwide. The company employs over 50,000 people. Serco operates in the following sectors of public service provisions: health, transportation, justice, immigration, defense, citizen services. So maybe need to look at a little deeper into all of this stuff.
They have massive contracts in the U.S., within the armed forces all over, yeah? And they're pulling a lot of these strings in terms of organizing how people should be locked down, how people should be interned, how people should be vaccinated, how people should be tested. You know, people need to wake up. They need to wake up, right? Because this is, you know, the same games are being played again. And the reason why history is now repeating itself, because people really haven't paid attention.
Yeah, and you're right. We got some callers. Hold on. Hold on, Paul. We got some callers. 646-646. Good afternoon. 646. Okay, let me go to 414. 414-507. Good afternoon.
Hey, Brother Ochi.
Hey.
How you doing?
LaRue Ned. What's up, baby? How you doing, LaRue?
Hanging in there.
All right.
Hanging in there. Hey, I wanted to go over that again, what you were talking about, the mind stuff and the philosophy. And basically, I think that the bottom line is that what's most important for us right now is how we're dealing with each other. I'm looking at the homicide rates that's going on.
Yeah, they're up all around the country. They're up all around the country. Right. In fact, in Milwaukee already has surpassed its year total last year. I think they had less than 100. They have 155?
I know it's doubling.
Yeah.
But every year they say, well, it's getting a little bit better. You know, we're solving the problem. But it goes up and down. And when it goes down, they say we're solving the problem. And when it goes up, they say, this is the problem, this is the problem. But anyway... but that relates to how we view and value each other, I think. And those are the issues that, to me, are most important. Because what we're doing, and the homicide rate is only really the tip of the iceberg. I see these women, man, talking to their children and fathers, man, beating their kids, man, because they're not following the rule of the school or whatever they want their children to be. And basically, man, these parents are treating their children like slaves. You do what I say, you do it. You know, they're not communicating.
Yeah.
And to me, those are the most important issues, man, what's going on in the home and in the family. Now, they can do what they want to do.
Well, what goes on in the home and in the family affects the community. We don't have good community life because we don't have good family life. And the fact that we're parents don't raise children, you know, they don't nurture and raise children. They don't communicate with them. You know, I'm not into corporal punishment. You know, I'm not into just beating a kid's ass for the sake of beating somebody's ass. You know, to me, if you are a loving parent, from when that child gets out the womb, you are helping that child understand its environment and helping that child develop and grow. You don't have to whoop them. Just by the tone of your voice, they know the difference between, hey, little sweetheart, baby, come here, baby, and hey, stop that, put that down. You know, they know that difference, you know, but yet in this society, because this society is so punishment based, they want to beat somebody's ass. And a lot of times in our situation is because we are so frustrated in what we're living in. We can't whoop the cracker's ass. So we have to beat. I mean, that's what I experienced as a child growing up. My mother did day work. She worked for these European Jews in the suburbs of Milwaukee. She had to take whatever they said or whatever they did to make a little bit of change she made. And sometimes when she came home, she wasn't feeling it. And so you better watch out because she might beat your ass, you know.
Exactly.
So
part of that is due to the fact that they have broken the family down to it's even past the nucleus level, because most families are single parents. And so when there used to be grandma or grandpa was there, and then, you know, and they followed, they had the order, and families had a good support system. They've taken that away.
Well, so we can understand. Yeah, well, you know, that nuclear family of that kind of support, although in reality, there's a lot of grandparents who are raising their children's children, their grandchildren, because of various reasons, addictions, imprisonment, and so forth. So I agree with you. The state of the African family here in America, and I don't know. Hey, Paul, what is the state of our families in the UK?
You see, you know, the brother raised a very interesting point. Yeah. Very interesting point. You know, if sometimes I think, you know, when I hear these things, let me explain. It sounds slightly crazy to me. My neighbor, two doors away from me, is a white woman, yeah? And said to me one time, she works in a shop, like a shop what sells food, it's kind of like a supermarket, we call it sells food or whatever. And she says to me that, she asked me a question. She says, why do these African ladies beat their children like that? Yeah. So I said to her, what do you mean by that? She said, well, they're always shouting at their children and screaming at them, especially the boys. And my heart sank, because I'm thinking to myself, this white woman is asking me why these, she's predominantly seen African. I mean, it's not that it's unique to African women, but she's saying, why are they shouting and screaming? So she's noticing it. And it's not something I haven't noticed. I have noticed it. And it was a bit disheartening for me, because now right across the sea in America, you're saying the same thing. So this is a problem we have. And it's not just a problem there. I'm wondering, how far does this problem go? Because it is real and it is happening. You understand? It's happening. And when the brother says treating the children like slaves is absolutely right how he's describing it. So there's something wrong. My conclusion is this, Brother Ochi. Something is wrong. And we don't like the truth. Something is wrong in the mentality. And something has to change.
Well, my contention is this, is that this system will do any and everything to disrupt the family. They understand that the strongest unit is the family unit. That's why 70% of the children were born with a father not being present in the society, within their family.
Right.
You know, so our family life is, you know, completely disrupted. And it's going to be very hard because we're at each other. I said early in the beginning of the program, there is no group of people who say that their complement, their opposite, ain't shit. You hear it all the time. Black men ain't shit, you know. You hear it all the time. But you don't never hear an Asian woman. You never hear an Arab woman. You never hear even a European woman say that her man ain't nothing.
Can I interject? Let me interject with that. I couldn't have described it better, right? So the point I'm trying to make and why I am phoning in from London, UK, is this, yeah? This is the point, and you've helped me to clarify the point. The point is this, Brother Ochi, and I need people to understand this point. There are policies being sown at high levels. This is not coincidence why these things are happening to us and why a brother over the sea can describe it as treated like slaves. And a white woman could tell me, why do they share their children, especially the boys? Why are they undermining the boys? Because at high levels, policies, academics are sitting down and writing policies. And these policies, most of them, believe it or not, and you can go and check this out for yourself, are emanating from the Tavistock Institute. It has many branches in America, all over America, and they write these policies. It's called social engineering. And then they sow it from the highest levels, and it's filtered down. So it's not coincidence. You can look at your adverts on TV, and you will see the same things we see. Overwhelmingly black and white couples. It's the same thing's happening there. I've got family in America and Canada. I know what's happening. It's the same companies who are promoting these adverts, the same companies who run them, the global companies. It's the same policies being set. It's all a deliberate strategy to undermine the family. So, you know, I couldn't put it better myself, but I'm just telling you, it's right here. It's exactly the same because it's a policy, an international policy being set. So when we're pointing fingers at each other, yeah, we're going to have to take responsibility and do something about it. But the policies are coming from higher up. And, right. And when we start talking to each other on an international basis, when the policymakers, like the teachers and the groups who form the education start speaking to each other, that's how we're going to be able to conquer this. If we think we're going to conquer it in our little groups, right, we're not going to be able to do it because the policies are coming right up from the top.
See, that's why it's very important that we must understand us being a unified people, us being as one. That's why they know that they would do anything. And I mean, I never forget reading that article, sitting at the firehouse kitchen table, reading an article by Zbigniew Brzezinski, who said that we would do, who was Jimmy Carter's national security advisor. Zbigniew Brzezinski was a sinister looking individual, you know, beady eyes, very. Now, somebody told me that his daughter is on one of these programs. I still haven't been able to see it. But anyway, Zbigniew Brzezinski said in the article, we will do any and everything to prevent Africans uniting. Africans on the continent with the Africans in the diaspora, particularly with the Africans in America, because the Africans here in America are some of the most technologically advanced Africans on the planet because of our exposure. And so if Africans can come together and join hands, pull resources and you know, claim their land.
It's over.
Yeah, go ahead, LaRue.
To simplify it, Carter G. Woodson, I think, said it best when he says, our education has made it necessary. That's what divides us.
Yeah.
And clearly, this education system, as Carter G. Woodson points out, crushes the spark of genius in us. It kills our self-esteem. And when we have negative self-esteem, that's when self-hatred and all those other thought processes come in and then actions follow. And that's why, to me, man, it is important. And the brother from the UK, the one that's on here, he made a reference to us being descendants of slaves. And that's the foundation, I think, to the negative self-esteem that we are experiencing. And so if we could correct that understanding, then we can begin to heal our self-esteem issues. And therefore, it's like a domino effect. And then we can begin to heal from the negative effects of other negative propaganda that is having a profound effect on us. Every time we go to the movies, we see this. So I think it's important for us to correct the idea that our ancestors, we've been lied to, our ancestors were not slaves. They didn't act like slaves under slavery. And that's why the European in America had to come up with the Emancipation Proclamation, because we was dishing out so much hell here in America that they knew they had to change that system. And they didn't want us to believe that they changed the system because of our actions, but that is really the case. So now we're running around here thinking that the European freed us out of the kindness of his heart. And in believing that, we believe that he controls our freedom. And so so we look to him for everything, and instead of looking inside and correcting these self-esteem issues that is leading us to beat our children and treat each other like slaves.
I hear you.
If we believe we are the descendants of slaves, we're going to act accordingly.
Yeah, I agree. Exactly. But you know I agree. 646-646, good afternoon.
Brother Oshie, and to everyone on
Yes, Brother Jay.
What happened? His call dropped. Hopefully he'll call back. But what Brother LaRue said is most definite. In fact, you know,
absolutely.
I was on a Pan-African I'm with the Pan-African Federalist Movement, and we had our conference call not this past weekend, the weekend before. And of course, I've already mentioned, about the number of other Pan-African groups having something going on at the same damn time, which frustrated me, because we really need to begin to speak with one voice. We need to coordinate these kind of efforts, you know. But
I dropped.
Okay, Jay, go ahead. Well, hold on, Jay. Hold up, Jay. Let me finish this point, because I think it's important. One of the things I wanted to mention within the context of that Zoom conference of the Pan-African Federalist Movement is our words and our verbiage. Because many people were saying the same thing about us being slaves and so forth. To me, we need to correct, because this is not our language. We're not in control of this. And when we say these words, it gives images, it conjures up images and notions about
Absolutely.
Things. So we need to really look at that. So go ahead, Jay.
Well, you know, the way things are going right now, Oshie, we better be prepared for what we're going to do tomorrow and not so much what we've done in the past, because this situation is about to get real tenuous in this country for black folks. And the sad thing is, black folks don't understand it, especially in these major cities, man, because it all predicates a lot of things on what happens Tuesday. Because you better believe this, states that are Democratic run, if this animal gets back into office, are going to receive no assistance from the federal government. And these states, like what you see going on in Philadelphia, New York, and other major populations with black folks, are going to be in for some real serious, serious times, because it's already happening with this pandemic and what it's doing to the economic and financial situations of the majority of black families. And nobody's talking about this. Nobody's putting anything in place to try and help and assist and save our people, because they think the daddy gonna help and save their black ass. But that ain't gonna happen, because they can't even save white folks right now on the level in which they supposed to be saved. And you know, they come before us.
Yeah.
So we better start thinking real, real hard how we're going to look out for one another and look out for our family members, man, and watch ourselves on every level. Because it's a possibility, man, that this country will go through a depression like back in the 20s and the 30s, man. And believe me, black folks ain't in no position to handle that, because like you just said, we don't have family structure. We don't have family structure like back in the day when Ma and Pa was in the home when we were trying to build something. Nah, man, the family ain't like that. And the sad thing is, we don't understand it, we don't realize it, and we don't see what's coming. So I say to anybody, stop thinking about what the hell Joe Hunter and them are doing, and start focusing on how you going to help your brother and your sisters and your friends and their family survive not only this pandemic and what's going on. Because the reality is, Hunter Biden don't have a damn thing to do with how you put food on your table. He don't have nothing to do with it. You better be worrying about if Joe Biden could hang in there long enough to do something, because he's definitely showing signs of dementia. And look, y'all gonna now really, really be confused and crazed if he got to step aside and let this so-called black woman,
a black female president, a black female president, really?
yeah. That I mean, listen, man, it depends on how the script plays, man. Because come on, man, you know, and I both know that Biden is suffering from early stages of dementia and Alzheimer's. I mean, you could just see it. I mean, I know it. My grandmother had it. I know that. I know the beginning stages and the beginning signs. And I'm telling you, he got it. Now, how they're going to control it if he's elected is going to be another thing. But right. Remember, if he got to step aside, you now going to have this black woman as the so-called president of the empire. And, man, that right there is sick.
Jay, listen, you and I both know it doesn't matter who is the president of the United States, a male, a female, American, African, Latino, whatever, because this system is run by those who we don't know, whose names we don't know. That's who runs this system. Paul said it. It runs through the petrodollar, the big money folks, the deep state. But whatever the hell you want to call it, there's no doubt about it. It's just like when Barack was in. Barack told the line. He had to toe the line. Okay? He chastised us when he felt it had to be done. He really didn't do anything specifically for us. You know?
And also, we can look at the presidents even before Trump. I mean, the Bushes, they couldn't walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. So, obviously, something behind them was running the country.
No, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. So,
yeah, but this animal they got in office now is a little bit a different type of animal, because this sociopath, narcissist, psychopath, man, he's as dangerous. He's as dangerous as it comes.
Well, that's why he's. That's why. Jay, that's why he is going. That's why he is gone. Go ahead, Paul.
You know what, brother OG.
Go ahead, Paul.
You know, I hear what Brother Jay's saying, I hear it, but, you know, none of these people are elected. They've all been selected. They've been selected to do exactly what they're doing. Exactly. They are following the script to the T. You know, you can see in the policing, they call it bad cop, good cop. This is a stage show. Do you not get it? It's a stage show, right? Exactly what he's doing, he's supposed to do. He's supposed to do.
Right?
Hold on, LaRue. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, he's supposed to do. You know, this red and blue Republican Democrats, they're all friends. Come on, people, please. They're all friends.
Hey, all they are is a different wing of the same filthy, funky, nasty bird. You had something to say, Jay?
No, me.
All can think what they wish in regards to these crackers, but the reality is the cracker is the one who's going to dictate
how your life is going to move forward, because if the truth be told, we ain't got our sugar, honey, iced tea together.
Yeah.
We're not in Absolutely. A position to take care of one another. We ain't in no position to look out for one another. And
no.
let's be very clear and yeah. stop the bullshit. If we collectively, the individuals on this phone, needed to come together to take care of each other, in all honesty, we couldn't do it.
Hold on, LaRue. I got you.
Let's look at the reality of what we facing. One's in London, one's in Milwaukee, one's in Atlanta, I'm in New York. How are we going to collectively come together and save ourselves with the hook and dagger of this white man? And how, I mean, come on, man.
A Zoom conference.
That's what we're going to do, man.
Okay, go ahead, LaRue.
What we should be figuring out is not how we can't do things, but how we can do things. And if we love each other, then that, look, if we're going to go out, then let us go out loving each other. Let us not focus on what we can't do, because we have already proven through our history that we can do anything we set our minds to do. Amen.
Absolutely.
Are you done? Okay.
Yeah.
The bottom line is that because of what has happened to us, because of what has happened to particularly here in America, not so much of the Africans who were in the Caribbean, the Africans who are now in the U, who are in Europe, the Africans who are dispersed, but the Africans here in America, because of how they developed us. I hate to use that term. Just like Carter G. Woodson, who said in The Miseducation of the Negro, how they beat us down so badly that, you know, and trained us so well to accept this condition, and that we want this condition to continue, that even if it doesn't continue, we'll find a way that it will continue, because we have, our education, our training has made it so, and we haven't been able to break that. As I say, I use that analogy of the vice grip. The European has a vice grip on our minds. And if you understand and know that too, you just can't open that vice grip up. But there's a knob at the end of the handle of the vice grip that once you turn that knob, you can release the tension on it, and then bam, you can open it. Symbolically, turning the knob means that you're acquiring knowledge of self, that you are understanding who you are. You're understanding who we are as a people, and you are giving that information out and to try to make other brothers and sisters so they can release that vice grip that these Caucasians have on our minds. And we can begin to think and, more importantly, behave and act differently, and begin to come together and to begin to share and respect and trust one another. We have been trained not to. This is serious. This is dead serious. You know, just like the last poets used to say, all we want to do is party and bullshit and party and you know, when the revolution
comes. That's the Negro. That's the Negro in a nutshell. That ain't changed since they recorded that, how many years ago?
The 70s, 50 years ago. That was 50 years ago.
That's the Negro in the nutshell.
That was 50 years ago. Yeah.
We got to stop fooling ourselves, brother. If we stop fooling ourselves, we'll be better off.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay.
No plan. You can look at what's going on with this whole election and the behavior of the Negro. He got to be mad at his son.
Yeah.
Hold
on, LaRue.
Hey,
there's positive and negative on both sides. I mean, there's positive and negative white folks. There's positive and negative black folks. But when we look
there ain't
at ourselves,
white folks in my condition. There ain't no positive white folks in my condition. White folks ain't coming to help me. White folks ain't my ally, brother. Stop thinking the white folks as your ally. Because every time they're your ally,
sir,
and they didn't
say
come around to you in the ass.
Here's what I'm saying. When we look at black people, if our main focus is on the negative side, then that's the side we're going to make grow.
Hold on, Jay. Hold on, Jay. Hold on, Jay. Go ahead, LaRue.
There are black people out here that are doing things that we might not can see. And there is nobody on this planet who has gone through what we have gone through. And if you look at it, if you look at what we have gone through, then for us to be in the position that we're in and do as well as we're doing, I don't think any other people would be doing as well as we're doing, having gone through what we've gone through. But if we always talking about what we can't do and how negative we are and what we ain't doing right, if that's where our focus is, then that's all we gonna see. Okay. And that's all we gonna do. And that's what will grow.
Okay. Jay?
I absolutely agree with that. Absolutely, 1,000,000% agree with that. I'm a child of hip-hop. I'm born in the UK. I am a child of hip-hop. I know all the artists from Cool Hand Luke, from Grandmaster Flash, right up to Ice Cube. I know them all, right? And, you know, I know African-American has through his art history and his form, has done a load of brilliant things, absolute brilliant things, which we've benefited from. We have benefited from in all kinds of music forms, all kind of innovations and creations. So it's not all negative. And in actual fact, in life, in nature, you find negative and positive. Nothing in nature can exist without negative and positive. So when you're up, you look down, and when you're down, you look up. That's how it is. And we will win. That's it.
That's right. The yin and yang. Jay? Jay?
I don't have nothing to say, man. It's whatever. Go ahead. Have a good day. Enjoy the rest of the day off.
Have a good day, man. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it. Listen, I won't be here Friday. I'm going to be here next week, but I'll be back after that. And I hope that you guys enjoy this day, enjoy the rest of the week. And of course, I'll be watching on Tuesday, just like everybody else be watching on Tuesday, see what happens. But for me, regardless of who wins, and I don't think the winner will be known on Tuesday. I think the winner will be known probably by 2 or 3 days later after that. But regardless, or as I said earlier, that the people in the language, the dictionary said you can use the word irregardless. So irregardless of who they did, LaRue. So irregardless who wins, our condition will be the same until we change it. Our condition will be the same until we change it. It is all within us. When we purge ourselves of ignorance and superstition and bullshit and put into our minds the love and respect that we need to have for each other. So you guys have a good day. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants. Think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. And I'll see you real soon. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bifuhodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.
Peace.
Peace.